Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthy Mind and Body Radio Show with Michael Harris, PhD. We are committed to helping you create a type of life that is worth living. Our guests are authors, speakers, healers, and industry experts who are living their dream. Join us each Monday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and start living your dream.
Happy Tuesday and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You reach the Healthy Mind and Body Radio Show and Michael Harris. Hey, that's me. And we're going to be talking today about state-dependent learning. And this is kind of like an interesting concept when I first heard about it. And what it means basically is whatever emotional state, whatever state that you're in, whether it's physical, emotional, mental state, while you're trying to retrieve information, it needs to be the same information or the same emotional state that you were in when you learned it. Okay, and that kind of means that if you think about, and this might be different for you, but when I was in school, and particularly in high school, you had a lot of people. They were drinking at school or on their way to school. They were getting high at school, and consequently, when you ask them, when you talk to those people and try to get them to recall, you know, what they were doing, they may or may not be able to retrieve that information if they're not in the same condition. And the same thing holds kind of true with emotions. If you grew up in a really stressful environment, or a very happy childhood, or a very unhappy or angry childhood, frequently when people try to retrieve that information, it's just not there. And I have people like show up in my office and I'll say, you know, tell me about your childhood, and they'll just look at you and go, you don't really remember all that much about my childhood. It's because that information accessed by an emotional state or by a chemical state or by a mental state. And I kind of wanted to talk about this. This could be a short show, it could be a long show, depending on whether I get on a roll or not. But if you think about it, 2 years ago I had the flu, and there was about a 3-week period where I was really, 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 really sick. And I had a high fever. I had a temperature over 102. Oh, I think it was 103 for like 5 days, until somebody that I like a whole lot, you know, drugged me to the doctor and got me, you know, the medication that I needed. I really don't have any much memory of that exact time. I guess if I got into a hot tub and got my temperature up to about 103, I could probably recall that information. But it's kind of interesting the way that hypnosis works, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. Is, you know, maybe there's some information that you want to retrieve. Maybe there's some information that you need. And I'm going to tell a couple of different stories. I've had some interesting things happen in my world. One of them was that my dad got really, really ill, and he was sick for about 10 years, and then he died. And he died of something other than what he was ill with. He died of pancreatic cancer. And what was real interesting was at the time my father died, I was actually happy that he had passed on, because I didn't like him. It's because he was very, very ill, and he had become so ill that he just wasn't the same person that I remembered growing up with. I remembered him as being very funny and very fun and really smart, and he had just turned into this really sick old guy. And he really wasn't that much fun to be around, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't much fun for him to be around. And when he left, you know, we buried him, and I said goodbye, and I went back to work. And if you'll notice that in this story that I'm telling, I didn't use the word grieve. And I thought that I had properly, you know, said goodbye to him. But a couple of years later, 2-3 years later, I found myself, I was in a very agitated state. There was something wrong, and I didn't really know what it was. And I spoke to a colleague of mine, and they asked me what had gone on. And like, you know, a lot of that, you know, everything's good. It's all, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And he's like, well, have you had any death in your family? And I'm like, yeah, my dad died a couple of years ago. And he's like, hmm. And we started investigating that state, and we're going to go, and I'm actually going to give you some instructions on how to induce trance, and kind of do a self discovery for yourself. We'll do a brief thing. So if you're driving your car or something like that, you might want to like shut this off and listen to a podcast when you're not operating a motor vehicle and stuff. Because I want you to be safe and listen to this show, you know, when you're not going to be disturbed. Okay, so that's and we're going to talk about two different conditions. One of them is we're talking about grief, okay. And the other that I want to talk about it was actually something that happened to my daughter. And it was one of those things, it's just one of those cool opportunities that you have to really make a difference in somebody's life. And my daughter, when she was about 2 or 3 years old, she was kind of like running in and out over at my mom's house. And my mom had just put in this new screen door that had, you know, it was a metal door. It had the storm windows in it and all that good stuff. And she's like, she's too short to grab the door handle easily. So, you know what kids do. They're going to hang onto the door. They're going to open and close it with their hand and stuff. And I'm like, you need to be careful. You know, you need to be careful. And sure enough, she wasn't careful, you know, because she was 3. And she closed her hand in the door. And the way that I knew about this is because I heard a screaming sound, very much like she had been impaled with a whale harpoon. And I went to go see what was going on. And there she was, and she was stuck in the door. And I opened up the door, and I literally looked down to see if, you know, there were any fingertips there. But there weren't. And she's bawling. And my mom goes and gets her an ice bag, and we put the ice bag on her fingertips. But at that particular time, it seems that I was like just in the right space, just in the right space and frame of mind. And I'm just sitting there, just kind of asking her questions, you know, and I'm saying to her, you know, that looks like that hurts. Does that hurt? And she's, you know, nodding her head yes, and she's still crying. And I'm asking her different questions, you know, has she ever had that feeling before? Is one particular finger more sore or painful than the other? Is there any blood? Do you think it's going to leave a scar? You know, I'm asking these questions, and literally what I'm doing is I'm engaging her mind in this process. And we're just sitting there, and I'm not really telling her how to feel or not to feel. I'm not telling her to stop crying or to keep crying. I'm really not telling her anything. I'm just observing, and I'm being with her while she's having this experience. And after a while, her crying slows down, and she's kind of fidgeting around. And, you know, then I stick my hand out, and she hands me the ice pad, and she hands it to me, and she's just kind of sitting there, and I'm kind of sitting there, and we're not really saying all that much. And a couple of minutes later, she asks me if she can go outside and play on her swing set. I'm like, sure, go ahead. And so she takes off, and I'm just kind of sitting there holding this ice bag. I can't imagine what type of expression I have on my face. And then my mom comes up to check, you know, to check on us, and she asked me where my daughter Sage is. And I said, well, she's outside swinging. And that literally was it. And I don't know if my daughter remembers, I'll ask her today if she remembers that experience or not. But the way that this experience played out is it could have gone much worse. You know, I could have dumped a boatload of shame and guilt and anger on her. I could have raised my voice. I could have done a wide variety of things other than what I did. And that's kind of what I want to talk about is that every time that you have somebody around, you know, and they're stressed or they're sick or they're injured or they're having what might be described as something other than a good day. What is your emotional state? Are you standing in your center of you? And are you part of the solution or are you part of the problem? You know, asking somebody who is obviously in a stress condition or an injured condition or an ill condition, you know, why they are having this experience is not going to be all that useful. And I thought we would do something that was kind of fun today. So if you have an opportunity to do this now, great. And if you don't have an opportunity to do this, please go ahead and shut this podcast off until such a time that you can listen to it. But what I'm going to do is just basically we're going to induce a trance state, okay? And people do that all the time. They read books and they fall into the book, or they're watching TV and they block everything out. And I just want to give yourself an opportunity to just, you know, feel your body and feel your breath. It doesn't matter if your eyes are open or closed, but you can just, like, find a spot on the wall and just look at it and just notice what you're noticing. You know, how do you feel? Do you have any tension in your body? If you do, you know, let go of it. Take a breath. And just let that stress go right out through the tips of your toes. Okay. And kind of what we're going to be doing is we're just going to take several minutes as an interesting exercise. But before we get into this too deeply, what I'd like to know is what would you like to remember, you know? Would you like to remember the name of your third grade teacher or, you know, you have a memory, you know, that it's important it's important for you to remember. You know, I had a client, you know, that wanted to. She had actually hidden some money. There were actually literally pieces of gold, and they were in a bag, and she hid them because she was going out of town. And for the life of her, she couldn't remember where she put them, and she. Look for them, and then she, you know, then her, because her mind didn't have an answer for where are the gold pieces, she started suspecting that her housekeeper had taken them, or her daughter of the housekeeper had taken them, blah, blah, blah. And eventually, we had actually did this process, and she did. One day, real shortly after that, she remembered exactly where she put them, and she found what she was looking for. So, think about that for a second or two, about what it is that would be useful for you to know or to remember, okay? And what I'd like you to do is return to your breathing, just breathing, looking at that space in the wall. You can close your eyes if you want to. And I want you to invite that part of you in, okay? That part of you that remembers what it is that you want to remember, that part of you that when you were a child or when you were an adult was angry. What information do they have? Okay? And I just want you to invite that part of you in and just observe that part of you. And I want you to pay really close attention to, you know, what you're feeling, or what you're seeing, or what you're hearing. You know, are you hearing conversation? Are you looking at a movie clip? Are you standing in that movie? Or maybe it's just a feeling. You know, you're just sitting there, and then all at once, you know, you're feeling a twitch in one of the muscles in your left leg, or you have you'll notice that you've got a pain in your neck, or whatever it may be. Okay. What I want you to do, is to ask whatever it is that you're observing, whether you're seeing it or hearing it or feeling it, I want you to ask it three questions. And I'm going to pause in between each one of these questions so that you can just kind of calibrate that and notice what you're noticing, okay? What does that part want? And then you just notice what you're feeling or what you're seeing or what you're hearing. Or you could ask that part of you, what does it need? And you may or may get a response, either physically or visually or auditorily. Or you could ask, what does it need to have happen? And you're just noticing, you know, what memories you may be having or a physical experience that you may be having. You might feel something or hear something. You might see symbols. You might hear music or you might remember a song. And that's kind of how it begins to work, is you follow that path. And sometimes this can be like a scavenger hunt, you know. You go to this clue and you'll feel something. And then you'll ask that part, you know, or you'll ask that feeling, what do you want? Or what do you need? Or what do you need to have happen? And then you'll get something else. You know, you'll get a tree, a picture, a song, another feeling, and you follow that, and you just kind of go down that rabbit hole. Now, here's something really interesting. Something really interesting is sometimes there's something that you need to do. You need to apologize to someone. Sometimes it's you, you know, or maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe it's you that you need to forgive. Because as adults, we have a tendency to be very hard on ourselves, that, you know, because we didn't know what to do and we didn't know how to disassemble a super collider when we were 6 years old. But sometimes there isn't anything to do, and that's why I wanted to tell that story about me and my daughter. There really wasn't anything that I needed to do except be there and observe, and listen. Just observe my daughter, listen to my daughter, and to let her have whatever feelings that she was having. And that's what I'm kind of suggesting to you. You might want to listen to this a couple of times, is invite that part in and just observe. Maybe that there's something that needs doing. Maybe there's something that doesn't need to be done. It just needs to be witnessed. It needs to be verified or validated that it exists, that you have a feeling or you're having an emotion. Maybe you're having a bad day. Maybe you're having a great day. But those two things both need to be validated. So I'm going to kind of leave you like that, you know, and just noticing what you're noticing, okay, and then just thank that part of you that came in. You know, maybe you're still following, maybe you've got some steps down the rabbit hole that you need to do. But let's do that at a later time. Take all the time that you need to do that. But for today, just thank that part. You know, just say, hey, thanks for coming in. Thanks for letting me know. And this is one way that we can use hypnosis. A lot of people think about hypnosis as like the ultimate removal tool for habits or for behaviors. But what most people don't know is hypnosis is for healing. And sometimes those parts that need to be healed, they can be healed just by taking the time to be there, just like you would with your kid or just like you would with your significant other, that there really isn't anything to say. There really isn't anything that needs to be done. It's just part of that process where you're with that person or with that part of yourself, and that's all that needs to happen. So I want you to think about this and think about how you grew up. Think about different problems or situations that you may have that are repetitive over and over, okay? You might have the same argument. You might be having the same kind of spouse or significant other. Maybe you've been married three or four times, or you maybe haven't been married, but you keep attracting the same type of boyfriend or girlfriend. These repetitive issues, or you know, a real classic example is, you know, every holiday, everybody goes to somebody's house for Christmas or for some holiday, and then boom, you know, they're back in that same situation, and they're having the same problems or same arguments. The other thing that happens is when people have repetitive problems in terms of their career or in their finances, just about the time that they seem that they're going to climb out of that financial hole, something, you know, in quotations, happens. Okay, and this is what I mean by state-dependent learning. You know, if you've lived a life that's pretty calm and it's unusual for you to have a lot of stress, you know, I'm very happy for you. But there are a lot of people out there, that they have some type of stress, and because it may be happening in a different context, they're not recognizing it as a repetitive problem, and they're not recognizing it as a state-dependent learning. I've had people in my office that they're like super creative, super, super creative. And one of the things that they can do is when they are in a jam, when they're up to their eyeballs in debt or they're stressed out of their mind, that's when they get the most creative. And that is the exact definition of state-dependent learning, is that that something needs to be solved, and their brain goes, oh, I know what to do. We know exactly where that resource is. It's stored over here. So let's go ahead and stress this person out of their mind so they'll get creative. Well, that is one way to do it. But by doing this process, if following this process of learning how to access those feelings, how to access those memories, and doing it in a calm manner, doing it in a manner, this will give you the ability to access that information anytime that you want. And I'm going to kind of like close out for today, but just think about this and listen to this a couple of times. Maybe it'll make sense to you. And if you have any questions, you can always give me a call. My Google number is 214-702-3774, or you can send me an email to drm.drmichaelharris.com. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Welcome to the Healthy Mind and Body Radio Show with Michael Harris, PhD. We are committed to helping you create a type of life that is worth living. Our guests are authors, speakers, healers, and industry experts who are living their dream. Join us each Monday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and start living your dream.